That's what happened here in Montreal too. And it's so good, you know. Two minutes, oh my God, terrible Arctic.
The sound of this doorbell may seem pretty ordinary to you, until you realize that it's Graham, who's 75 years old and still delivering meals to people in need in his neighborhood. And that for many of them, it's the most comforting sound they'll hear all day. Seniors bring so much to Quebec. Let's recognize their contribution. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Yes, sir, you already know what it is.
What it is.
This is Jason Alexander on behalf of THD Entertainment letting y'all know we're on CKUT 90.3 all month with the Montreal Sessions, myself, DJ Rossi Ross, and of course, Colin Hassel on the drums.
Yes, sir, Montreal. That's Whose Vibe Is It Anyway? Mark your calendars, 3 to 5 p.m. every Tuesday through the month of March. Hit us up on IG at THD Entertainment. Drop us a line. Let us know what you want to hear. What's popping in your neighborhood? We got to know.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Never gets, don't you know your manners yet? Yes, I do very well. Give me anyhow.
You should just give me that. 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 Give me like all them awards. Give me that worldwide tour. Give me that brand new Accord. Give me like all that coin. Yeah. You could walk in my shoes, then you just stay for the view. Cause how I see is so cool. I don't see her or you. Irresistible, man, huggable. Fluffy with the silly flows. Non negotiable. Wild and like an animal. Out and instable. I'm a bull. Staying quiet though. Control time, time might control me, but that's a rhyme for a different time and story. And I'll be just in time to sit and bask in all my glory. Everything I want is mine for what you got for me. You should just give me that. 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 Give me like all them awards. Give me that worldwide tour.
This mother.
Yes, yes, we're back, we're back, we're back. You are tuned into Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson, and we have a guest who it is their first time on the air with us. Her name is Tanya Bailey. She is a contemporary writer and poet born in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and grew up in the GTA in a Caribbean household. Her writings reflect her creative collage social environments that blend contrasts of heartache, joy, and determination. Her published works include vividly diverse haiku, poetical veering, and seemingly provoked. Her current book is called Night Sky. It was released last year and has been building in momentum during our COVID-19 climate. Telonia's writings can also be seen in various books, newspapers, zines, and short stories. Waiting for next. What's next for this emerging writer? Our universe. Tanya Vividly, Tanya, a.k.a. Tanya Bailey. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thank you very much. And how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You know, COVID, as I like to say to everybody, true. I'm doing COVID because, you know, true. that's what's up right now. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And so, you know, just doing what I got to do. But as we're in this whole pandemic-like situation, I got to ask, how has it been for you? We're coming up on the second anniversary. We're coming up on our second anniversary, and so when it comes to this whole situation, and we like to check in with our guests and see how they're doing.
Yes, actually, yeah, 2 years. That's interesting. It's been good. It's a way to reflect and think about ourselves more in the present, mm-hmm. and really. And forget about procrastination and all that good stuff, and just do what you've got to do. All the things that you thought you didn't want to do or weren't sure, just do it.
Right. And like, how have you find yourself being in this pandemic?
I've been feeling like I reflect more. I have turned inward more, mm-hmm. to really address my now, my being.
Okay.
And what's next, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you, because you're an author, you have 4 books published so far. And yes. When we discussed earlier, you said you were part of various compilations outside of the 4 books that you published. How did you decide to become an author? Is this something you always wanted to do?
To be honest, I always kind of kept it to myself. Mm-hmm. So it was the idea of, yeah, like I would write and then just keep it for myself or the, you know, or maybe share it with a few people. Some people would be like, oh, you should do something with this. And I was like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. And as I said, it just, you know, grew from that. And then, you know, with life's trials and tribulations, you know, mm-hmm. you become more willing, I guess, to take that risk. Okay. Or the timing just is right. The yeah. universe is saying the time is right and you just do it.
Yeah. And what was that moment that you realized, okay, I want to publish my first book?
So for myself, I would say what comes to my mind is a lot of bad things just started to happen around me. And that really stems from a lot of death, to be honest.
Okay.
Family death, like some things that are, it's just, it came from that. And trying to keep up appearances. And then in the end, you're like, everything is crumbling, though. Yeah. But I'm keeping up appearances.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, so that's one of the big threes for me, like the most impactful threes. I believe in life we have big 3 events, birth, marriage, and death, that are like always cause high stress, always cause people to completely shift the way that they think. So what was it about these multitude of deaths that happened that made you go, okay, I wanna step into something different?
The matriarchs in my family that include my mom and my grandmother, mm-hmm. were the big ones for me.
Right.
Because even from between my mom, my grandmother and my mom, it was like within 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. No, it was, yeah.
That's very fast.
It was dreadful, actually, to be honest. Yeah. But yeah, that's really what changed it. And as I said, seeing things going, oh my gosh. And then, as I said, the ripple effect, mm-hmm. within that, and you're just going, what is going on here?
And so which one of the books is your first? Is it the Vivid Like Diverse Haiku?
Yes, it is.
So tell us a little bit about what's in there. Because first tell us what's a haiku. I know personally what a haiku is, but I want our audience members to hear what it is. What is a haiku?
It would be seen as like a traditional symbolic rhythm. Mm-hmm. That is from the Japanese culture. What I decided to do is, obviously, as I'm not Japanese, but I admired their tradition or their ideologies. Mm-hmm. I modernized it.
Okay.
So modernizing it is, turning it into my rhythm as not like a Black woman, a person of color, whatever, connotations. But in the end of it, it's my rhythm to haikus.
Okay. So are you following the standard 5-7-5?
Yes. Okay. Yes. But usually, traditional Japanese haikus are very more like, I don't want to say earth-centered, but more like the trees, the air, like it's very atmospheric.
Okay.
If I could say that.
And
I turned that, and I also brought it inward.
Okay.
That's the best I could say.
For example, tell us more. What do you mean by that?
So it's like you turned into your life, like what you've experienced, mm-hmm. how you're feeling. I had a great review that compared it to like hip hop meets like dub poetry meets like, the way he described it was just very interesting. Okay. And I was very flattered at the same time.
Okay.
Mostly because of, he was just like, he didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. And was like, oh my gosh. Like he even compared it to like beatniks and stuff.
Okay.
Where I was like, oh wow, that's really cool. Right. Yeah. So, and then as I said, just different reviews and how people, because I'm a big believer of once I do a piece, I kind of like set it free. So right. it's not about me anymore. I've shared it and it's all on how you, because I can't tell you how to feel.
Right.
So it's up to you. And from the first book, which it was a lot of past pieces I've done as well too, that I modernized, I guess, uh-huh. or helped it blossom to the modern times.
Okay.
Or just used them from the past. So the first book is like a collage of past and that present at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So how people kind of embraced it, I found people going, oh, when's the next one? When's the next one? And I was like, I didn't even know that I would do a next one.
Right.
I was just happy I did the first one.
Gotcha.
So,
So do you incorporate your Caribbean background into your yes. work?
Yes.
What is your Caribbean background?
Jamaican, and my grandmother was born in Cuba.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Jamaican and Cuba.
Jamaica and Cuba are so close too, right?
That is...
From what I've heard. Yeah.
Correct. Yes. Yes. But it's so far in terms of language though.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
From what I heard, my grandmother said that for her father, there was no work in Jamaica, so he went to Cuba.
Right.
And that's how the ball started to roll.
That's where that connection began. Okay. And how do you reflect? Do you reflect your Caribbeanness into poetry? Into your work?
Feeling or just lingo or language? Mm-hmm. Well, lingo and language that. Because I realize as well, too, that I can see. I don't actually, how's the best way to say this? You know how patois can be written. Mm-hmm. I don't do that. I guess I convert it to, obviously, because I was born here. Mm-hmm. It becomes more Canadianized, do I want to say?
Right.
But the, in my opinion, the feeling is still there. Like, I'll use, say, for example, oh, fuckery. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Mix up, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
It's still pretty, that's still a word used in Jamaica. That word.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, I'm not gonna say this is some arms house business. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not gonna say that, but I use other terminology that probably people would be like, oh yeah, okay, I get what you're saying. Because mm-hmm. at the same time, I'm looking at it as the audience. I'm aware of the audience being diverse.
Right.
That's how I'm looking at it.
In terms of the ones that are consuming your work.
Basically.
Right.
Because I don't judge and just say, okay, this is the only group that, because I don't believe that. I think it should be open for everyone.
Right.
It's a, you know, because who am I to tell you that you can't read my book because you are not a person of color or, you know,
you're not black.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I love about language, and especially, I would say, Caribbean language, Jamaican in particular, because we, even though there are so many other islands that sound similar to us, like our, it just has a very, very specific tone and timbre and a passion. Some would say aggressivity to it, but I prefer passion to the language. And what I love about it is that it evolves according to wherever you live, right? And Toronto for me is such a diverse space. It's very Canadian, but then it's also very much the melting pot that people like to think of Canada as. Toronto is that, because you have everybody from everywhere. Like, you can go down one street and you'll be on a completely Caribbean street, and then you'll turn down the next street and it's completely Canadian, and you go up another street and you're in a brown people space, you know, with lots of Punjabi people and other South Asian people. And I love that you know, that can influence the language and allow it to become something new. And I remember I'd hear people from different walks of life, different races, we can say, speaking with that Jamaican, that Toronto Jamaican twang, and I'm just like, oh, this is interesting. This feels like Jamaica, because in Jamaica you can see Asian people, you can see South Asian people, you can see black people, you can see white, lily white people. And they're all speaking the same, with the same kind of accent. If not patois, then they definitely have a Jamaican accent, which I love, because our motto is, out of many, one people.
True. Very true. Yeah, no, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. Actually, what I also think of, as you said this as well, is the flip to that is Toronto, as you said, many assume because of Toronto that every place in Canada is like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, actually, no, Toronto is the only, you know what I mean? Maybe Mississauga in its own different way because it's a suburb. And then Ottawa, I think, is trying to be a little blend of the both.
Right.
A little melting pot in a bit of its own.
Yeah.
Adding a little bit of the French flair. Mm-hmm. But I think for Ontario, those are that's it. Because I can tell you, when you go a little hour out of Toronto, mm-hmm. the game changes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't even, and it doesn't really even have to be an hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can flip on the other way, maybe half an hour, the game changes.
Right.
Yeah.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Tanya Bailey, a.k.a. Tanya Vividly, who is a writer, poet, freethinker, and soul seeker who has published several books over the past few years. We do have to go to a little break, play some music, pay them bills. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Let your booty do that yoga.
Groove, you got the fat groove on the reel. back. Bustin' fat rhymes and I'm here to stay. So you got to give it up like Marv Gaye.
You're under my control.
No 50-50 loving girl without an extent.
I got your heart and soul.
Them the kind of lovely girl who are from them men.
Go down and take my time.
Just to make you happy girl is no problem.
Oh, I want you deep inside.
So hear the rude girl, she come for tell them for real.
It's just show I'm swinging my rhymes at full speed. To groove with the star causes full breed. I bring it home like Stephanie Mills and then I chill. Got the fat groove on the reel. So move with the tune, yeah, move with me. Salt and pepper say groove with me, groove with me.
I need you to groove me. I need you.
Why don't you throw it to me now? I mean now. Yeah, babe, right now. Let the bass boom, boom, pow, pow me. I like my music real loud and grimy. Slick and slimy, you may try me. But can't run no bullshit by me. Cause rank and I, we flow to a staticky beat automatically. Anything else can be a lot to me, G. See what I'm saying? See the crowd swaying to the fat joint playing.
Cheers your aunt.
I need you.
It's every time, baby.
Rule me.
Non-stop loving.
I need you.
Always.
Rule me.
What a girl, them sex, come on.
I need you.
Champion, me cry.
Rule me.
Analyze.
I need you.
Cheers up. I saw me cry. Feel the good body, girl. Them look how the girl, them body good. I mean, no stop crying. Feel them, I saw me ball. Feel the good body, girl. Them look how the girl, them body good. Me no stop ball for them.
Rule me.
Have mercy.
I need you.
Good gosh.
Rule me.
Want the prophet.
I need you.
Now we say, you call me ball. Feel the good body, girl. Them look how the girl, them body good. Me no stop crying. For
slipping up, look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Look how I'm living up. Police be tripping up. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is Gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm so dull like, yeah. We gon' blow like, yeah. Slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm geeking up. I'm so fitted. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty. I'm gonna get it. Watch me move. This is selling. That's a tool. On my Kodak. Black. Know that. Hundred bands. Contraband. I got the plug on a hawker.
Whoa.
They gonna find you like Paco. Blow.
Ooh, America. I just checked my follow and listen. You motherfuckers owe me.
Tame Impala in concert. Tame Impala, Slow Rush Tour, an incredible transcendent live performance.
She just said, is it true, is it true? Tell me now, it's a promise I can make. And I won't.
Tame Impala, Place Belle, March 10th.
I don't know, I don't care.
Get tickets now at evinco.ca.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. Once again, you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominic Ferguson, and I am speaking to Tanya Bailey, who is a contemporary writer and poet born in Toronto, Ontario. She considers herself a freethinker and a soul seeker, and her writers reflect her creative collage in social environments that blend contrasts of heartache, joy, and determination. Tanya, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
So,
thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have new artists that we haven't. When I say new artists, I mean artists that we, Soul P, have not contacted, because you're not a new artist. You've been doing this for a while. I mean, 4 books published is no small feat, and published in different compilations as well. Is poetry your main form of expression?
I would say so. Like, I think I've always admired wordplay, I guess.
Okay.
Or the hope of wordplay, how people use communication or express themselves, or the lack of. That's what kind of intrigued me. And to be honest, I've worked a lot in musical settings, mm-hmm. where you're helping to kind of construct or compile like songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also an interesting connection, or like worked with different local or independent magazines that interviewed artists, musicians, writers, things like that. So I mm-hmm. think being in those environments helped as well too.
Helped to mold your work towards the poetry?
Yes.
Okay. And do you perform?
Actually, no.
No.
I've done a lot, like prior to this pandemic, mm-hmm. I would do readings and stuff. I've done that, but I actually haven't. Like, I think in school, I always liked drama and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, theater, I've been amongst all the great artistic peoples. And actually, I've done... I've done a few theater things, I've done a few things.
Okay.
But as I said, never specific as, say, poetry or writing. I find that I have a little bit more of a connection, and I don't even want to say connection. I jumped in the pool when it came to writing and poetry.
Okay.
More than the other ones where I was more like in a sauna or in the wave pool, you know?
Okay.
I don't know. That's the best.
Okay. What does that mean?
So like when you're in a wave pool or like you're in a sauna, you're dabbling, but you're not in the pool.
Okay.
Writing in poetry, I feel like I'm in the pool. I'm swimming, and I've been swimming for a little bit.
Okay.
Compared to, as I said, like, I'm not going to say, oh my gosh, I've done a few contemporary dramatic things that because of that, I am now this person. No,
mm-hmm.
I've dabbled.
You've dabbled.
I've dabbled in other areas of the same genre per se, but it's not, that hasn't really been me. I find writing has really, had a nice hold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, because I've Fantastic. Been writing for many, many, many years, right? And yes. One of the issues that I have, I haven't published anything yet. I've been fortunate enough to be published in one or two compilations. The Great Canadian Black North is one of them. And I've been like, okay, how do I publish and all of that? But my big question is, how do you choose the title of your book? Because it's your brand for that book. So how do you go about choosing that?
I feel that it's based on what that makes, like, so whatever, once you've put together your words, your wording for that specific book, mm-hmm. what does it make you feel? Like, what does it bring you to? Like, is there a reason for this lovely collection? Mm-hmm. Did it bring you back to a time in your life? Is it about a present moment? Is it futuristic? That helps with bringing the title together.
Mm-hmm. And has any of your books been like one of the poems becomes the title, or is it really like the collection inspires a new title? Because, you know, some books, I have a lot of poetry books, and some poetry books, like one of the poems is the title of the book. Like one of the poems titles is the book title.
Which it's fair. Like, I think it's interesting when people do that. Mm-hmm. I think it brings it to the next level if you actually give it its own. So, right. Like, even with haikus, there's a lot of haikus that actually don't have titles to the actual poem. It just free flows. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, or as I said, as I modernized it, and I mean modernize it as in this time right now, I'm not perfecting anything. It's just how I see it. Mm-hmm. And I added titles to it.
Okay.
Because to myself, each piece is a different point in time.
Gotcha.
It's a different feeling.
Right. The other thing I want to ask you is, your government name is Tanya Bailey.
Yes.
That's your author name. But you also go by Tanya Vividly.
Yes.
How was Tanya Vividly born? How did she come to be? What does she do?
So that actually, like, in regards to my business things that I do, mm-hmm. Vividly, so my business name, it's Vividly. But Vividly came about when I was working at a great event space at the time called Elma Combo. And that's in Toronto, where it's maybe about three or four of us at the end of a shift, where the owner at the time, his name is Abbas. And I guess it was just business ideas and throwing ideas and stuff. What would you do? Like, you know, you're just having those conversations. Okay. And Vividly came to mind. And, you know, a few people were like, why? And I said, because Vividly is so atmospheric. It's like it's continuing, at least in my eyes. Mm-hmm. Vividly is just a great word. You know what I mean?
Right.
It says so much with just one word.
And what does it say to
and
you?
And so we're, sorry?
What does it say for you?
Continuing. Mm. Gracefully, you know? Lovely. So based on that, and I also think of, like, you know, when you think of like flowers or like petals and stuff, and they're just kind of floating in the air, mm-hmm. but they're just, and they keep going. That's kind of where and as I said, and we were just kind of all, I don't know where we were either in a car or, like, as I said, kind of after work hanging out. And it's just how I talked about it. And everybody was like, yeah, I was sitting in some like not really like a bar or like a cafe or something. Mm-hmm. And it was like, yeah, vividly. You know what I mean? And everybody kind of connected. And I did too, because it fit my character as well. Gotcha. And that's how that began.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's the word. That's how you came up with your business. But how does Tanya Vividly work? Like, so we have the business name and how you came up with that. But there's a whole personality to it, right? There's
yes.
It's almost like two distinct people.
Yes.
Because Tanya Bell is the author, and Tanya Vividly is almost somebody else.
I know, which is amazing.
Yeah. Tell us about
it. I know. I find that Tanya Vividly, some have called me a promoter, like a great PR person, especially in like musical collectives and collages. Mm-hmm. It just sounds great too, because it's like, oh, it's Tanya Vividly. It's like, oh, who is that? You know what I mean? And as I said, it's continuing. It's just very interesting. And musically, yeah, like it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's its own life works. And it's a great way to, I want to say separate. And I say separate church and state, mm-hmm. based on one craft to the other. So then when people kind of connect them, because I what it makes me think of, I remember doing this interview, and the person that I was interviewing knows me personally,
right,
but didn't connect that I was the person that was doing the interview. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing this interview, da 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 da, this is gonna be amazing or whatever.
And then they hear your voice and they're like, wait a minute, I know you.
He laughed, and I will even say his name is Mindbender, and okay. That was amazing.
And it bent his mind that you were basically two different people.
Well, I let him go on with it. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do this, and I was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And as I said, I listened to what he was saying, uh-huh. and then all of a sudden it's like, then he realized, oh, and then it was, that is funny, yeah.
Right. Where do you see your work carrying you within the next 5 to 10 years?
Next 5 to 10 years? It would actually be great to, I'm not sure yet where, but I think what I'm thinking of right now is to actually write a novel.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to actually write a novel would be, because I said, I've done the short story, mm-hmm. the poetry stuff is, but it's finding a way to incorporate the poetry idea into the actual novel, which I'm not saying is impossible, but to do it in my way, mm-hmm. that's the catch as well.
Right. And yeah. And what do you mean by your way?
Adding my rhythmic perspectives, or maybe actually probably what it is being ready to say, okay, now I'm really going to bear everything.
Okay.
And that's what the novel's about, right?
Okay.
You're fully exposed.
Right. Okay. Fully exposing yourself. So basically. what kind of topics would you want to cover in a future novel? Or what genre would you like to write?
I'd say for myself, the best thing to write about is, I want to say right now, but I think futurism is also very interesting as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
Afrofuturism.
Right.
And a lot of it is just because we are at an interesting critical point right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where it can really go one way or the other.
Okay.
So I think that's the intriguing part. Especially in a Canadian or a Canadiana perspective.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, I don't know what you've been doing, but you should be listening because we are speaking to Tanya Bailey, who is a writer, poet, freethinker, and she's also known as Tanya Vividly. Keep it locked. We do have to pay some bills and some music. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Equator to your waist, Earth is the station. With the inner outer space, feel this vibration. We are where we are, this elevation. Only love can take us to the stars.
A satellite into the darkness, you bathe me with your light. Tell me, can I rock with you?
You got me down, got me down. Whoop, 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 whoop. You better be that, better do. Show me the way. Friends who are really not on our side, they've always got something to say about us and how we are spending our days. They're trying to confuse us with their lies and deceit, but they don't really care if we live or die on these streets. But you and I, we both know the truth, then we will prevail as long as God sees us through.
No matter what they do, you need to love me.
Yeah, love me. I wish that they would leave us alone and
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and our guest this evening is Tanya Bailey, a.k.a. Tanya Vividly, who has published works that include vividly diverse haiku, poetical veering, and seemingly provoked. She recently published a book called Night Sky and was released last year and has been building momentum during the whole of the pandemic climate, the COVID-19 climate. Tanya's writings can also be seen in various books, newspapers, zines, and short stories. Tanya, thank you so much for being here.
Please.
I find, as a writer myself, and having spoken to many writers and artists, that we're always inspired by someone else. So my question to you is, what are some of the authors that you consume? Who do you love to read, for example?
So what comes to mind when you were saying this? Rest in peace, bell hooks.
Mm-hmm.
I think bell hooks was a visionary.
Yes.
Visionary. I also think of James Baldwin, ahead of his time.
Way ahead of his time.
Whoa. That's all I got to say. It's like, wow.
One of my favorite things to do is to watch old videos of him where he's snatching these white people off of their chairs, man. I'm like, oh my God, to be that eloquent when I talk one day. Soon.
Wow. Oh, I know. It's
like Uncle James and Auntie Belle.
He brought me chills. Like, I think of him and Nina Simone. Like, oh my gosh. Like, wow. Mm-hmm. Like, those, like, oh yeah. Like, it's, yeah. High Priestess, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. situation there, you know what I mean? He was, yeah, he's a visionary. Like, it's, I don't even know what else to say, you know?
Yeah.
Who else? When I think of Canadiana, I think of Austin Clark. Austin Clark was a great writer.
Mm-hmm.
Lawrence Hill.
Okay, yes.
Like Canadian. Yes. Yep, Canadiana right there. Like, people don't give him, yeah.
They don't give him enough
they
credit.
Don't give him enough credit. He wrote
his book is, was it The Book of Negroes?
That
was it. And they made it into a series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And somewhere like, I don't want to say Sweden, but it was somewhere in those areas where they were so mad at the book that they got together and burnt it.
No. So long as they paid for it before.
Oh, I know, right? They paid. That's it.
Yeah.
But that's the, yeah, like to me, that's an infamy.
Yeah.
That's an infamy. Like, that's amazing.
And what it is about actions like that, I find it's counterintuitive in this modern climate whereby, okay, maybe you're burning 100 copies of his book. What you're actually doing, if you're publicly doing this, is that you're saying that this book is actually worth a read, and you should read this book. Even if you're saying don't read this book, because I find in our society, and I mean just as human beings, whenever someone says don't do something, you're automatically kind of hardwired to do the opposite. So, because I don't know what it was probably one of my many Instagram videos that I was watching, but your brain is hardwired not to acknowledge the negative. So if someone says to you, don't think about a pink elephant, the first thing you're doing is you're thinking about a pink elephant, no matter how you try.
True.
You know?
True.
So, I mean, think about when we're children and our parents say, you know, don't touch the stove. We automatically are like, well, why are you telling us not to touch the stove? You know, like, I'm going to touch the stove. I need to find out for myself why is this stove so... And you get burned. But,
true.
You know, which I think is counterintuitive, because what we should be teaching is the value of actually consuming that. So actually touching the stove is actually important, and showing them where you can touch the stove. I remember I was reading a book, Sacagawea, who was a native woman that was taken and married off to the white people them. And she had a son with one of these white men, and he was trying to protect his son was getting very curious about the fire. And so he kept on inching closer and closer, and the father was always bringing him away from the fire. And she said to him, no, he has to learn at what point he can be warmed by the fire, and at what point the fire can burn him, how he can use the fire. So even though these people are burning these books, what they're really doing is they're promoting the books.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. Because they're saying to other people who don't think like them, this is a book that is worthy of consumption.
True.
And it's so worthy of consumption, and it made us feel such an emotional response that we had to burn it.
True.
So, and then what are people going to do? They're going to say, well, why did they burn that book? How comes that happened? And when people do that, they get curious and they say, you know what? Most people are not blind, blind sheep. They don't just, most people don't follow what everybody just says, you know? And that's so funny saying that now during this whole pandemic situation where, like,
oh, I know.
People are like, there's two huge factions, right? There's the anti-vaxxers and there's the pro-vaxxers. And then each side are calling each other sheeple and telling each other what they should and shouldn't do. And the truth of the matter is the majority of us fall on the in-between, and we try to kind of rationalize our decisions and why we're doing this and why we're doing that. But we're always trying to find out more about whatever it is that people are trying to say we should or shouldn't do.
True. That's true. Well, and also, I'd also look at it as, because both sides don't realize you're both being tricked by the same machine.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any other authors that you, so we have James Baldwin, Bell Hooks, Austin Clark, Lawrence Hill.
Motion is great. Like, I remember buying her book late 90s, and, you know, dub poet. Like, when I think of Motion, I think of almost Lauryn Hill ish
okay,
in writing, and I just remember being in awe and going, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, it was just great.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, yeah, I remember buying it a few times for other people for gifts. And then I think she went to UFT. I'm pretty sure she did. And then there's like George Eliot Clark, you know, giving us Black Canadiana as well.
Okay.
And I believe he taught at UFT too. I'm pretty sure. But yeah. So, you know, a lot of great. And then I also think that also my writing and poetry, I give it a lot to hip hop as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hip hop also is the teacher. Because, you know, when you think, as I brought up Lauryn Hill, I think of De La Soul, Tribe, you know, wordplay, and from that, the connection to like jazz, when you think of like a Miles Davis, you know what I mean? Like, and the others, you know what I mean? It's great. It's great. Like, it's our foundation. It's our roots.
Mm-hmm.
And as I brought up Nina Simone, you know what I mean? Those kind of histories, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Okay. I already asked you. I keep wanting to know where you want to see yourself as an author. We mentioned, I believe it was during the break, we mentioned futurism. Or maybe it was before the break. We mentioned futurism.
Before the break.
What is futurism to you? Because a lot of I've explored what Afrofuturism is, and I found that there's no set definition of Afrofuturism. There's no okay, this is like, even though people have defined it and there's a whole book called Afrofuturism, I find that whenever I read work that is considered to be Afrofuturism, it's never exactly the same across the board. Like how, you know, fantasy books, they're almost all the same. They feel like they're set in a time period before now. There's magical beings. There's usually dragons. People have powers, whether it is that they're wizards or they're warlocks or they're witches or something like that. So fantasy kind of, okay, we have a, if someone says, here's a fantasy novel, I kind of have a global idea of what a fantasy novel is.